Welcome to Tea
with Mrs. S, a podcast about relationships, life, and everything around us.
Good morning, Mrs. S.
Hello, Tea. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you for asking. How was your night?
do they ask that? How was your night?
Some people say it's inappropriate, actually.
That was your night.
Like when a guy would ask you, how was your night? It's supposedly inappropriate.
That's a very odd question. I think it's an odd question.
How was your night? Maybe they even say, how did you sleep or something? It's just everyone's like, oh, that's so inappropriate. I'm like, how?
Well, I don't think it's inappropriate. I just think it's an odd question. The way it just sounds, how was your, I don't know. It sounds odd. As opposed to saying, did you sleep well? I think that's good. But how was your night is odd because you're sleeping. You know, it's like, okay, I'm asleep. So, but did you sleep well? Yes. You know, if you ask someone,
guess,
how was your night?
I guess, how was your night is not...
or a party.
How was your night is the person not presuming or assuming anything about you. They don't know how your night went. They don't know if you slept. They don't know if you work at night. Well, maybe they do if they know you well enough. But, you know.
Nobody asked.
They don't know
that.
You like that.
It's an odd question. Like, did you sleep well? That's okay.
I just asked that question. What do you mean nobody asked that? I just did.
Well, I don't know why you're joining the nobody group. What? I don't know why you're joining the group of people. The nobody
I doesn't
group.
Blames you.
Who asked those questions? Yeah. Did you sleep well? Yes, I did, actually. Oh, no, I had a nightmare. How was your night? I don't know what you mean by that. Unless you saw me at the club and I left you there, you know, or you left me there.
Whatever.
Let's get into the cocoa of the day.
The cocoa of the Mara. Mm-hmm.
So let me see. I don't know if... Where did I see this? Can't remember. Somebody was making a comment. Oh, do you want to start off with the, you know, the other stuff that you want us to talk about?
No. You go right ahead. You got the floor. You're doing good. I'm really mad at you.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, we've been talking about marriage and different things to look into or to consider. And one of the questions was finances. And I can't remember because I don't think I sent you that article. I saw an article somewhere talking about this. And I can't remember how it was, but I just thought it was a great topic. Marriage, marrying somebody based on, was it even just that? Oh yeah. And then there's the, you know what? You don't watch reality TV.
Shut up.
There is Joe Millionaire, and this time they're having two guys on there. And the plot twist is that one of them isn't actually a millionaire. They're both beautiful looking boys. When I tell you they're hot, but one of them isn't.
So
when they introduce both of them to us, I mean, they're both doing okay. They're both business owners. One is in his family's business that is millions of dollars, a ranch. And the other one is in construction and he's just starting off. So he's not a millionaire by any stretch of the imagination. So they're both there to pick a wife or whatever. And they've told the ladies, you have two guys, but one is not a millionaire. And then one girl was like, what? You said what? Where? We came here for Joe Millionaire. Yeah, what are you talking about? But anyway, I think it was...
Is that the same one where one of the girls recognized or the guy felt like he knew one of the girls from somewhere?
Yes, that's this new season. I don't know that I've actually ever watched any of the seasons or whatever, but it's interesting with this plot twist. But yeah, he noticed one girl, you know, with the age of social media, I think they were following each other or they had tried a date or something like that, but at least they were following each other on social media. So he recognized her immediately and was like, no, she has to go. And then she left, or they sent her home. But I catch it when I can, but I haven't been watching it, you know, religiously. So what is wrong with a man or a woman ensuring that whoever it is that they want to align themselves with for the rest of their lives is financially you know, solid. Do you think there's anything wrong with that?
So it seems a bit mercenary is the word that I think probably the rest of the world would be looking at as like, are you aligning yourself with this person just because they meet your financial criteria?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does obviously decide, okay, this is the criteria that I want in my partner or in a spouse or whatever. That's the whole reason that you have that process of, okay, let's look at this person, or we're going to date, or we're going to talk, or whatever. The question is it your only criteria? And will you convince yourself that you can deal with everything else as long as your main criteria, which is financial, is taken care of? And for some people, they're like, yeah, I can. For me, everything, I think we've said this several times and many times, is as long as everybody is clear
right.
what their end game is,
mm-hmm.
no wala. Some guys are happy to know that the only thing they're giving you is money, and that you're only there because of money, because they're going to treat you anyhow. They're going to treat you, and they're going to be like, look, we agreed from the beginning.
We know what this is about, right?
Yeah. So don't come here. If I tell you to get away, just get away. I don't want to be dealing with you right now if I'm rude to you. And either way, you know, male or female, I'm just using male predominantly here. But if a woman comes and says, look, oh boy, lick my feet, and you know that the only thing you're in this thing for, you've already said to yourself, is the money, then lick the feet, you know, lick her feet. That's what you signed up for.
So
don't sign up for money, and then tomorrow you now want to go and change it and say, but why are you treating me like a dog? Like, hello?
So that's it. That's if you're looking at it as if that's the only reason that, you know, they align themselves. And I don't think that's the case. I feel like people don't recognize how finances, just like communication, just like honesty, and all those things are vital to a successful union. You know?
What do you mean by it's vital?
Having somebody who is straight on their finances is vital to a marriage. A lot of marriages break down irretrievably for financial reasons. If we look at the percentages, a lot of times it's not even about cheating. People, they all cheat, but they're like, yeah, I know you cheat, so I'm fine with that. But most of it is because this partner isn't good with money, or they thought this person was going to be able to, you know, help with the house and everything, and the person isn't helping. Or somebody is just really bad at, you know, with money. You know, they have the money, but they can't keep it. They can't seem to make it work. They have a lot of money, but they have nothing. How is that possible? Because someone is bad with their finances.
The difference is still full disclosure.
So regardless of whether full disclosure or not, I'm saying, should I be upset with a person who says, here's two candidates. This person doesn't have money. This one has money. Outside of money, they're both on the same. They're both the same. Should I be upset at anybody for saying, I don't want the guy with money, or I don't want the chick with money? It's the guy with money that I want. I don't think so.
I wouldn't be upset. They've identified what they want. I mean, life is clear about what you want.
But you keep going about identifying what they want. I don't think that what I'm saying, here's the slight difference in what we're saying. It's not about wanting the money. It's about the future of the relationship, you know, and understanding that money or finances play a vital role in the success of a marriage.
So I kept asking you when I said to you, I said, what do you mean? Because while I can agree that money and finances does play a role, I think the nuance here is that how you handle money is what plays a role. So if you have a millionaire who doesn't know how to handle money, you might as well be with a broke person.
I said money and finances and being able. So I feel as if I'm not sure where we're going with this, because I think I just said that.
Okay. So let me be clear in what I'm saying, because you keep telling me, you said to me, you're like, oh, it looks like there's a slight new, how we differ slightly.
Yeah. You said, here's, let me make sure I understand what you were saying. You're saying that somebody who goes into a marriage because of money, if they tell the person to lick the boot, you better lick the boot, because that's the only reason you're in the marriage. And I'm saying that's not how I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it that it is part of what makes a successful marriage. okay? Not necessarily I'm with you because of your money. I'm with you because without money and good finances, our marriage may not work, okay? You need money. You need money and you need to be able to manage your finances in order to buy a house where you can live, to feed your children, to send your children to school, to be able to go back and forth to work. Those things you need. You marry a man who doesn't have money or you marry a woman who doesn't have money. I mean, depending on how your household is, you know, if you're the wife and you're the breadwinner or whatever the case may be, you marry somebody who is not able to support the household is one of the major reasons that marriages break down irretrievably. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I hear you. I'm not going to disagree with that. You used it as an example, this Joe Millionaire show. And you said both of them were doing well. They're both business people, but one is a millionaire and one isn't. And so in that particular regard, you're saying to me that this person wants to marry, is looking at someone who is a millionaire. So if someone is not a millionaire, she's like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
So that person, but that person is in there for the money. Primarily.
Yeah. I mean, the name of the show is called Joe Millionaire.
Exactly.
It's not called Joe Blow or Joe
exactly.
Whatever.
So that's different.
That is an example I gave.
Okay.
I gave you an example, but even in that situation, but even with that situation that is so blatant, I'm advertising this guy because he's loaded. Even in that, even if we want to be like right down to the pettiness of it all, even in that situation, who wants to marry someone who isn't doing well, who isn't successful?
So, but hold on. Both of these guys are doing well in this particular instance.
Right.
Right?
They're both
they're
both hot guys and all the girls like all of them. Even though in their little conversations they because the butler guy Jeeves or whatever his name is has told them, here's the plot twist, one isn't a millionaire. And they're both trying to guess which one isn't. But even with all the guessing, and a lot of them are guessing incorrectly, they still are hot for both of them. You know what I mean? They're like, I don't care. They're both hot. You know what I mean? So, and it's a plus. Because
there are people who will settle with someone who doesn't have any money, as long as they are aware and they've figured out in their relationship how they're going to deal with it. If you eliminate people that don't know how to handle money or people that are not good with money from relationships, then the world is going to be a bit lopsided. It still, I think, boils down to full disclosure. So if, for example, I were to unfortunately get into a relationship with someone who did not know how to handle their finances, if that person was willing to give it up to me completely to be the person that handles the finances because I have the knowledge and I'm better at it, I could see being in that kind of a relationship. The challenges come when you're dealing with someone that has a limitation and a challenge and refuses to admit it. So you know you can't handle money. You know you don't know how to save. Then you want to still be lording it on top of somebody that is better than you at it. Like, who does that? You know you can't do anything. Meanwhile, okay, como, go and clean. Go and after all of that, you now go and spend all the money. No. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah,
that's the key. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So, but we're going into now the marriage has happened. The reason I brought up the topic was before the marriage. You know what I mean? It's not about now your marriage, because pretty much you went in front of, well, I don't know how people get married these days, but when I got married, we were at a church. We said it before our priest, our God, and our friends and family. And this is what we opted to do. Now you're in it. I'm saying prior to getting in it, you know, maybe even in the engagement phase, you look at the person that you're with and both of you discuss how you're going to live together as husband and wife. Who is going to be working? Is it going to be both of us? Is it just going to be you? Is it going to be me? This, that, and the other. You lay it out. You've done your research. You understand. And I keep saying, well, like, huh. How can you look into somebody? You have to look into somebody. And these days, it's easy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Making sure you know who you are aligned with. Meeting their family. Meeting their friends. Going to their house. Seeing how they handle their life. I think these things are important. And that's that plays a role into a successful marriage. And I think finances are key. I think people like to not make it.
Finances are key, but you don't want to be a gold digger.
Then what is a gold digger?
A gold digger.
Mm-hmm. Who is? I've said this before. I'm sure I can swear. I'm sure we've
like
talked
I, like
about
I
this
said,
before.
You
I'm know, sure we've talked about
you've
this
said
before.
This, I've said it. If it's okay,
what
being
is
a gold,
gold
digger?
What is a gold?
But just be clear about it.
Who is digging for anything other than something precious? Are you digging for poop? Like I don't even understand that. Like
I think when you call someone
a gold digger, or when people are called gold digger, I think if a woman is called, I understand the negative connotation that comes along with that. And I know why somebody is labeling somebody a gold digger. But then the person that labeling gold digger should throw the question back at the person labeling them that. What else should I be digging for, mannem?
Manure.
Hmm? What else should I be digging for?
We're digging for yam.
You know, everybody in this life, when we start speaking and going to school, the whole reason we're doing all those things is to aspire to greatness, is to earn something, to be successful. What else should that person be digging for?
Well, not everybody defines themselves by that within those parameters, I would say.
That's why the world is beautiful.
We're supposed to, you know, that's the spill. That's kind of like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be. But not, I don't think everybody defines themselves within those parameters. But some people do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, if you're digging for gold, let everybody know. Fine.
It's nobody's business if you want to dig for gold.
Gold that you want
to keep for yourself.
In terms of who you're dealing, in terms of who you're dealing with, every partnership should have full disclosure. That I think is the mark of a successful
partnership. Okay, you're talking about the two people involved in the situation, right?
Right.
Okay. So you're the gold digger. You want a boyfriend.
I'm only here
because I'm digging for gold.
I will be nice to you. I will lick your feet. I will love you to death. I will pick up your poop. I will clean your behind.
Boyfriend, I'm only here
as long as the money is in millions and millions and millions and billions. The minute you start entering thousands, I'm out of here. I'm like, it's okay. I didn't sign up for this. So let's just be clear of what the expectation is. And some men are okay with that. You know, they're like, I made all this money so that I could. This is how I want to live my life. This is how I want to treat the people around me. And I want them to take it. So when I say shut up, you know, you better shut up.
So I think in that respect, if a woman is only interested in a man because of his money and what she can get from him, that is outrageous, ridiculous. Even with full disclosure, you're digging a hole for yourself. But I don't think there's anything wrong with a woman who, in addition to all the man's great qualities, one of it is that he is successful financially. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And in fact, I think it's a prerequisite. I'm going to need you to be successful.
I think it takes all sorts. I don't know that my criteria is that. I don't know really whether the world or everybody will fall within those parameters of, oh, you must be successful. Like it once again, then you now boil down to, okay, how do you define success? So,
I mean, in your little bubble, success is what success is for you. To the next person, it might not be. Me, I might be feeling like I'm living off. I'm feeling cool with my life. Somebody else might be like, that's small fry. I'm saying exactly. within your space, what is your reality? You know, what works for you? The way you define
which is different for everybody.
The way you define. I'm saying whatever those parameters are. Finances and the ability to be successful and well at handling finances, that should be tip top on your list when you're talking about criteria for a successful marriage. If it's not, I feel sorry for you, you know?
Well, people muddle along. They muddle along and make it work in spite of not having defined parameters, and some people,
no, nobody,
in spite of having defined parameters, don't make it work.
There's not a single marriage that works when things aren't defined.
Mm. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I mean, you have to. Facts are facts. When there is not a single marriage that works when those things aren't defined. You've got to define. If you don't, that means everybody's doing whatever they want to do. And at the end of the day, things fall apart and the center cannot hold. That's how they do. I didn't read this article, but Peter Dinklage was angry with Disney. Wait, I'm not laughing. I don't want people to think I'm laughing, you know, because I'm not. I'm just saying that he was angry with Disney about Snow White and the... How many are they?
Seven.
Seven dwarves? Yeah. And he's like, wait, what? Haven't I done enough to advance the plight of the dwarves?
Who, him?
Yeah, I'm like, Peter, you have, man. Like, you...
I think
Game of Thrones, are you kidding me?
I think
you've done plenty. Say,
I don't have too much, what do you call it? I don't have too much skin in the game on this particular issue.
Because you're not a dwarf, what I did, or
no. Because I didn't even follow the issue. But what I do know is that a lot of the dwarf community, a number of them are quite upset.
About Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Yeah, because
what are they upset about?
Let me get into it. If it does get canceled, they're saying he made $1.5 million per episode on Game of Thrones.
Oh, so they're not upset about Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. You're saying they're upset at Peter.
Yes. Okay. Because they're saying Seven Dwarfs is work for seven people or seven dwarfs. And when the show is canceled, then they're left without work. And not every dwarf can get $1.5 million per show.
Why can't they get it?
I'm not getting into that. That's not my issue. I'm explaining what some of them have come out and said.
Before we get into
they're upset with
why
him
the
saying,
dwarfs are upset, let's address Peter's issue with the thing. So did you do that? Did you look into that? Why he was upset?
I looked into why he was upset, but honestly, I don't really get it. I get it, but I'm like, okay. I don't get it like that because, as I've said, first of all, it's stuff that has, how do I put it? The seven dwarves live in a house. They're not in a cave. Because I heard one of the things he was saying was that they were portraying the dwarves as though they're living in a cave. But they weren't. At least in the story I read, they weren't in a cave.
He's busy. I guess what he's trying to say with dwarves and you know, giants and all these things, a lot of them are relegated to very niche, I don't even know what you even call it niche, but niche roles, as if this is all they can play. You can only play Goliath. You can only play the seven dwarfs. Like, check me out. Like, I've done shows. I have done movies. I've been in so many different movies. So I guess what he's trying to say is, hello, can we like get some more dwarfs in regular roles? Like, can we not just always put them in these tiny little whatever?
Without sounding crazy, how is that going to work?
What
in
you
terms
mean,
of visualizing it?
Dwarfs get married every day. Haven't you seen
That's not what I'm saying. No. That's not what I'm saying. Please.
What are you saying?
Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying that entertainment is visual.
Right.
So,
and
it's
saying,
also descriptive.
Right.
Let me get to where I'm going. And so when you have a rule that says, for example, Goliath and whatever, Goliath has been described as this very, 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 very tall giant. And then the other person is this very, very, very short person, maybe 4 feet, 3 feet or whatever. Who are you going to cast in that role?
Okay,
or are
so
you going
again,
to cast,
you're,
if you have a role,
about, that's what
hold
he's
on,
talking
hold
about.
On, hold on, hold
no,
on. If
no,
you
no,
have a role, if you have a role for someone who has been described as 5'5"
you are talking or 6 feet,
are you going to now cast someone who's three feet in that role? You're just saying, I think you're echoing what he's upset about.
You can't just keep putting dwarfs and, for instance, and that's why I threw in giants in this niche. Oh, he's a giant or he's in this. I'm talking about there are regular TV roles where it's not about what the person looks like. The person is just a human being, a male person or a female person playing this role. You can cast a dwarf in that role. Just his height shouldn't have nothing to do with it. Just like this is what Peter is talking about. Cast me in normal roles. These dwarfs have normal lives. They get married regularly every day. A lot of them marry normal sized people. Cast these people in normal roles. That's all he's saying.
I don't think what he's saying doesn't have merit, and I don't think anybody has a problem with it. Where I'm coming from, you just told me the dwarfs have a problem with it. They have a problem with it because they've just canceled Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Disney was supposed to be doing a remake. And they're saying that is lost work. Disney. I don't know if Disney has canceled it too yet. I can't confirm or deny that. Why would
they
cancel it?
As long as they didn't bring him, if they didn't ask him to play one of the dwarfs, he's okay. He should be okay with it.
My point is that's not what is being said. Like I said from the beginning, I haven't followed this issue too closely. What they are saying is that when the show is canceled, if the show is canceled, because I can't confirm if it's been canceled or not, that is lost roles for seven dwarfs. That is where they're coming from. So that's what I was saying. That's the other side of it. I don't think anybody has a problem with what he's saying per se.
Well, those dwarfs do.
They're only having a problem with what he's saying in that if it has an impact on shows getting canceled and putting them out of work.
Disney is not going to cancel something that is their bread and butter. Everybody's watching these shows, so nobody's canceling it.
I don't know. Like I said, I can't say if it was canceled or not. But
no, they're not going to cancel it. They've been doing remakes, and if Disney doesn't do it, somebody else will do it. The point he's trying to make, which I understand, and maybe the dwarf should also, speak up as well in support, is that, listen, think about us for regular roles. That's all he's saying. It's not, look, have I not shown that it can be done, is what he's saying.
This is what Postel says. He says.
What? This is what? Who says?
This is another dwarf who asks, and his name is Postel. P-O-S-T-L. I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's the way it is spelled. He says, we are in a society, and I'm quoting, and a time of woke and progression. And I get that to an extent. But this is a fairy tale. This is a fairy tale about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Dwarves are one of the focuses. They are literally in the title. And he says, when I grew up, all I wanted to do is be a professional wrestler and work for WWE. When I was 19 years old, they were casting for a leprechaun, a person of my stature, to be an on-air talent. I could never in a million years have gotten a job with WWE as one of their main superstars. I am not 6 foot. I am not 250 pounds. But this role as the leprechaun was made for me. So what he's saying is there are roles that are made for them. He's selling himself too short.
I'm not laughing. I really am not. Listen.
You are. And he says, the story is not Snow White and the seven normal sized people. It is Snow White and the seven dwarfs.
So he has already pigeonholed, oh my God, himself by saying that he would never have gotten those roles. Okay.
Look, girl.
And I understand where he's coming from.
I am not him.
I'm not saying that you are. I'm giving my opinion of what he said.
Yeah, but you can't be.
His fellow dwarf said, listen, I've done a lot to advance the plight of my peeps.
And they said he's not King Dwarf. He's not the King of Dwarfs.
No, but, well,
he cannot speak for them.
He doesn't have to be the King of Dwarfs. He's speaking for himself.
I've told you what they're saying.
And I'm telling you what I'm saying.
Okay.
Mr. Postel, whatever your name is, I'm going to need you to vie for those roles that you believe that you would never have been given. You're selling yourself short.
Okay. I think, look, I don't want to get into it, but I think that they have a point, especially when you're talking about roles that are visual and you're talking about entertainment. Before, people will look at casting someone who does not fit the description of the person in the role, because most times you're casting is very specific, right? They're looking at type, they're looking at weight, they're looking at height, they're looking at so many things, and it all has to come together. So if you're already, eliminated from whatever percentage of the role because you're not 5'5", like, I can't be a model, at least
you're
then.
Selling yourself short.
Thank you. You can be a model. There's,
in fact, right now, that we're talking about, why can't you be a model, actually? Why do you say you're not a model? Why can't you be a model?
First of all, I'm not tall enough, in my opinion. There are certain roles that you will get based on your height. It is just the reality. Things are changing.
You might not be a runway model.
Things are changing.
Coming from a model, you may not be a runway model, but you could be a print model. And print models make tons of money.
Right, but there's still certain roles. But there's still certain roles that I will not get.
But listen, I should aspire to be a runway model, and I'm selling myself short because I'm 5'5". That's not what I'm saying, man. That's not what you said. You said you can't be a model, and I'm saying you could be a print model. You may not walk the runway. What's her name? Why am I for Kate? Is her name Kate? I forgot her name. She's 5'5", and she's a runway model. I'm trying to tell you that when you limit yourself, you will get what you have limited yourself to get. Point blank, end of conversation. That's what Peter is telling you. Peter didn't come out and write a thing and say, I would never get those roles. No. He aspired for those roles and he got them. That's why he's bringing in the change right now. Postal should not say that. He shouldn't limit himself. Go for it. Go for the dwarf roles as well.
I'm pretty sure he's gone for it many times.
Because he just said that he would never get those roles. That's what he said. Just like you said, you could never model. And I'm saying, number one, yes, you could. Number two, you could make tons of money from print. And who says you can't? I don't even know why I said that about runway, because what's her name? Why do I keep forgetting that girl's name? That's 5'5", or even 5'4". Runway model. There are plenty of them.
Look, my dear, I'm not going to go into the weeds with you. For every Peter, there are a gazillion other people that don't make it. It's like telling someone, oh yeah, you can be Michael Jordan or you can be Kobe Bryant. Some people have talent. Some people are special. Some people are, you can be Novak. All you have to do is just practice and you can get to his level.
Novak got to Novak. Do you know how he did it? From a little child, I'll send you the video where he says his dream is to be number one. And he was, what, maybe 4 or 5 in that video. You apply yourself. If that's what you want, if that's what you're dedicated to do, you apply yourself. Within 10 years, he's the greatest of all.
Look, I hear you all. No wahala. I'm not arguing. But what I'm saying is the greatest,
like the gold diggers.
There are many people who have gone for it but haven't made it. And you cannot discount them or discountenance them or try to make it seem like, oh, they didn't want it enough or they didn't try hard enough.
Who's doing
or
that?
Whatever.
Who is
that's
doing
how
that?
That's how you're coming across.
I'm not coming across at all. That is foul.
That is how you are coming across.
That is a lie.
Maybe you missed it.
I didn't miss it. That is so far from how I'm coming across, because you've just said what I said. These are people who tried. This guy hasn't even tried.
I said there are people who tried. You don't know.
You said you could never do this. This is what he is writing.
And
you failed. That's different. You said.
Listen.
Am I not listening to you?
I want to hear what you said. Listen.
You said you could never be.
I am
but have
quoting.
You tried?
Listen,
he said
I'm quoting
he never
from
be,
what
but has
he
tried? And then
said.
In the same conversation, you're telling me millions of people have tried, but they tried. That's all I'm saying. You have to try. Try, apply yourself.
The world is full of
people
who have tried. And believe you mean, yeah. Number one is number one. Number two is number two. The world is full of many people who have tried and tried and tried and tried. That they didn't get it does not mean they have not tried. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know what you're saying, actually. I don't know whether Postle has tried.
If he already tried,
you know, because he told you. He said he would never get it.
Listen. I'm not going to go from something that he wrote in an article.
But he wrote it. Those are his words. Can you imagine?
I hear you, but I know that sometimes he may have said something that does not encapsulate. Listen, he may have said something that does not encapsulate the entirety.
If he said, I worked my butt. Listen, if he wrote on this thing you're reading, that I worked my butt off to try to get into those roles and I never got it, and the dwarf roles are the ones that I got, then I will say, hey. But that's not what he said. He said he would never get those roles. He wrote it there, which is why he will go for the dwarf roles. Meanwhile, Pina is telling you, guy, did you check me out on Game of Thrones? Did you check me on what is these other shows that I've been? He was on the one with, what's her name, with the one night that was duping old people and putting them in homes or whatever. He has been in a lot of shows. That's what Peter is saying. I went for it. Two different things.
Look, like two I different said, things. I'm not even going to lose any. What the issue is here is people are saying Disney will make Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. The question is whether they're going to cast those roles with seven dwarfs or if they're going to cast the roles with normal people because they're trying to do a remake. That's what he was talking about here. And he's saying, do not cancel the roles of seven dwarfs because of wokeism. That's work if I hear that for seven word, dwarfs. Period.
Everything they use so, woke for everything. My and dear, I'm over it. They need to throw that woke word out because it has nothing to do with being my woke dear. Or whatever. People are saying, okay. see me, you know, put me in coach is what they're saying. Okay, we can't keep doing business as usual. You can't keep pigeonholing people. You know, this you're only good for this. You cannot do this. And they're just saying, we're all human beings. We want to aspire to greatness. Put me in coach. That's all they're saying.
No, Wahala. Everybody should take their chance. Take a shot. That's life, you know. Do you. If you want to aspire to greatness, go right ahead and aspire. And if you don't want to aspire to greatness, go right ahead and don't aspire. It takes all sorts to make the world go round. And all fingers are not equal. So I rest my case. I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm so done with that. Before you go and tell me you're not black, or are you brown or tan?
That's you. You're the one who says that.
Exactly.
Let's roll.
So you can imagine. You're
the one who says that.
When I'm not black.
Can you imagine?
Oh, Wahala. I am an African of Igbo heritage. Wahala, you saw the what did they call it? What's the word I'm looking for? The issue with you sent it to me, didn't you?
Was it the Joe Rogan and Trevor?
Mm-hmm.
Is it that one? I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, it's I don't even understand it. You know, the way I think here a lot of the way language is spoken in this country is very literal. You know, they create a word and then they want to be literal about it. And I'm envelope a whole bunch of people under one category, you know, and then now you want to break it down into something else. Nobody said that's what you're the one who came up with the word. And now I don't even understand. It was like, whatever. You know, the press, I mean, is he white really? If we're going to talk about colors, is he actually white? If you bring a white
of course not.
Thank
of
you not. So what are we talking about?
Same way, that's why I said I'm not black. If you bring black next to me, I'm not black.
But that's but okay that's so, not so you're saying color. So you're saying the same thing Joe Rogan was saying. You know, and Trevor is saying, you make that is that's coming out of your mouth, but that's how you see every single person.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
exactly.
Trevor is saying, I didn't come up with that term.
I wasn't called black. I don't refer to myself as exactly. black. Like, I don't refer to myself as black.
In Nigeria, are you spending your time calling yourself black?
I don't even think about it.
But that's not how you view yourself, and that's not how you categorize yourself. It is over here, and it's white people who came up with that term. All right, fine. Or whoever came up with it, you have sectioned people into different terms, and it's easier to
call. You all are black.
Yeah, right. So now you're going into a place where we don't need to go to. My friend, sit down somewhere. Nobody wants to hear that mess. You know?
It's Joe Rogan. Quite annoying. We'll see what gives.
He needs to shut up.
Oh, really? No way. He would shut you down in a minute.
Shut who down? Is he mad? Come, let's have a conversation. Who is he shutting down? He's mad. Can you imagine? Let's have a conversation.
I can't even laugh. But, you know, maybe I'm being unfair. He really is actually known for having conversations. He doesn't really shut people down like that. He gives everyone the opportunity to speak their piece. To say their piece and not their pieces. And see, so how's the weather actually?
We're getting a lot of snow. It's like bonkers weather. It's like snow today, tomorrow it's like sun.
Yeah, me too.
Not over it. Not even funny.
We'll have to see how it all works out.
Yeah, it's just cray cray.
Crazy weather. So are you going skiing?
No. I am not going skiing. Whenever, and I don't even have ski gear. B has all his, you know, his skis. He has all that. He has the stuff. I don't, because I'm not from here. And I haven't even thought to even go and start buying it. I need to lose some weight. I need to get, like, fine body. Ski gear is very expensive. Let's check that one in the number one box. Number two, when I lose the weight, then I can go out and buy my ski gear. And even with the ski gear, I'm still not skiing. The whole purpose is to dress up, look cute, and take photos at the lodge. You know?
By the fire. Vanity. Vanity is thy name.
That's all I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to be skiing anywhere, you know? We went to Vail. What did you say?
I said, you're so vain.
You know, she says she also wants to take her.
About you.
She also wants to take her music off of Spotify.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought it was only Neil Young.
No. Neil, and now she's following suit. She's like, yeah, me too. Take mine off too. So.
Okay, whatever.
It's like, either he goes does not
affect me or the price of tea in China. So. Whatever.
Well, it affects a bunch of listeners. If you do the analytics.
Did you hear me say, I say it does not affect me.
You're right.
That's what I said.
It's true, concern you.
So I know where to find anything I want to listen to. So it's okay. Let everybody be making themselves feel relevant and important however they want to make it happen. You know, you're that important. I mean,
what else did we want to talk about today?
I don't think we had anything else.
Well, that was it, huh? Those were interesting. I think one thing that came out of that, especially when you brought up that guy's letter about the woke thing. When I tell you, like when I'm on Twitter and I see this, people, anything that happens, then they say, oh yes, the woke, they're being woke. And I'm like, what? Why are you using this word? And why are you putting it in this conversation? Let's focus on the reality of the situation. And then let's talk about that. Let's not talk about things that don't make sense. For anything at all, people will just use the word. So this guy had a cat. Oh, he's woke. Okay.
I don't know why. I guess there's tons of people have probably done lots of write-ups and written about why humans feel the need to put a label on stuff. You know, if you can't label it, if you can't categorize it, then it's almost like, oh, what am I going to do? So everybody wants to put a label on something. I hate labels. So
you know. I actually don't mind. It's not going to come out the way I wanted to come out. So let me think on it.
Let's just leave it.
We'll discuss it on another day.
Leave it alone.
We'll have that conversation.
So, all right, our people. Support us. Share. Let us know what you think. Bye.
Thank you for joining us.
Leave us a 59-second voice note by clicking on the message button.
Comment, like, share, search for Tea with Mrs. S on the internet.
And if you like what you hear, subscribe by clicking on the support button.